This is an Equity Bates Media podcast.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Equity Minds.
I will say this about investing. Everything you do learn is cumulative. What I learned at 20 is useful.
Welcome to another episode of Equity Mates, a podcast that follows our journey of investing. Whether you're an absolute beginner or approaching Warren Buffett status, our aim is to help break down your barriers from beginning to dividend. My name is Bryce, and as always, I'm joined by my equity buddy, Ren. How are you going?
I'm very good, Bryce. Last episode for the year. We're taking a week off next week. Then we're getting into our summer series, which we've already recorded. Some of our best content to date, I would say. But I'm excited for this one. It's a strange note for us to be finishing on, a share market investing podcast. But let's close out the year with crypto.
Yeah. Well, we know there's a number of people in our community who listen to Crypto Curious, our cryptocurrency podcast, but also that, you know, we've been dabbling in crypto throughout the year. So have some of the team members here at Equity Mates. So in the spirit of wrapping up, we're going to do a crypto year in review because, boy, has it been an interesting time in cryptocurrency this year. Most recently and notably, the collapse of FTX, which we will get to. But this episode is supported by CoinSpot, Australia's most secure crypto platform, trusted by 2.5 million Australians. CoinSpot were awarded the internationally recognized ISO 27001 certification, and they are the only Australian exchange to conduct an external statutory financial audit. They are the home of crypto in Australia since 2013. 2022, Ren, what a year it has been. And we're going to go through 10 notable moments for cryptocurrency in 2022. Some good, some bad. Coming off the euphoria of 2021, we got rug pulled in late 2021.
Yeah, we did. Climb a DAO.
Crypto markets were booming, but then it all kind of started going south. And there's been some positives, which we'll get to, but yeah, what a tough year.
Let's start with the numbers because that's really what most people care about. So in Aussie dollar terms, at the start of the year, 65,000 AUD, now about 26,000. In US dollar terms, 47,000 at the start of the year, 17,000 today. Obviously, that only tells part of the story of the decline because Bitcoin reached its peak in US dollar terms, November last year?
Yeah.
And it's down 72% from there.
Jeez.
So that's Bitcoin.
Yes. It's no worse than some of the companies on the stock market.
To be fair to Bitcoin though, it fell precipitously in the first half of the year and it's really sort of held in that high teens, low 20s for about 6 months. So there's that.
You have been saying that a fair bit this year, I think. It's just been...
I've been saying that?
Yeah, it's just been like holding its pattern. It hasn't just been consistently bombing.
Didn't know I was sounding like a broken record.
Yeah.
But good to know. It is also worth noting that do you remember the spike in 2017 when we were all like, what is going on here with crypto?
Yeah.
That peaked at about where it is now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it peaked at around $20,000.
That's right.
In 2017.
Up from like 4 or 5.
Collapsed to like 5,000, no, even less, like 3,000 by the end of 2018. And then it sat around that for a bit, and then it went on a massive bull run in like 2020, 2021, got up to $64,000, and now it's back down. But where it is now is similar to its peak in 2017.
It's good perspective.
So that's important to remember. Even if you bought at the peak in 2017, you'd probably be about flat today, maybe down a couple of percentage points.
There you go.
So important perspective.
You bought at the peak.
I did. But I actually dollar cost averaging. So I've been averaging all the way down in this nice. recent crash.
Nice. Well, look, I haven't kept my eye on the price of Bitcoin anywhere near as much this year as I have in previous years.
Okay.
But similar to you, I do put in a small amount. I think I did the maths, 4.6% of my monthly investment allocation goes into cryptocurrency. The rest goes into equities and a core portfolio. So that's Bitcoin. Now with Ethereum, the second largest coin.
Yeah.
Was down 64% across the year. So Bitcoin slightly outperformed it. Some big moments for Ethereum this year as well.
We'll get to that.
But in Australian dollars, it was 5,183 at the start of the year, and it is now $1,926.
I mean, the story is very similar to the Bitcoin story. It peaked November last year. From November to now, it's down about 73%. Bitcoin, I think we said, was 72%, so very similar. Where it is now is very similar to where it peaked late 2017, early 2018. I think it's down... If you had bought at the peak in January 2018, which I actually did, I bought Ethereum at the peak and held it until today, you'd be down 5%.
Oh, okay.
You would have been up over 200% if you went from peak to peak. But yeah, it's just an interesting perspective that, like, what do they say? Higher highs, higher lows.
Well, there you go. Anyway.
There you go.
Good perspective. Where to from here? Where will it be next year?
Advice. Flat, I reckon.
Flat?
Well, I mean, you look at what has happened in previous crypto cycles, and I'm a little bit reluctant to say history is a good indicator because it's such a new asset class. But, you know, post-2017, it had a massive fall, and then it just held for, what, like 2 years? And then it ran up again. Anyone predicting that we're going to hit a bull market next year probably is more hopeful than realistic.
Mm. Who knows?
But who knows?
Yeah, who
it's
knows?
Just a supply and demand driven asset is, class. Yeah.
All right. Well, we've got 10 moments from 2022. Not all of them are related to price or anything like that. It's just some key moments that have happened in cryptocurrency. Governments getting involved. You know, we've seen what happened with Ethereum, NFTs, you name it. So let's get stuck in. And the first, and this is somewhat in order from January through to now. So first one was Canadian government getting involved, trying to freeze access to cryptocurrencies and fundraising platforms in Ontario through a petition to a court. So the story here was that there was a convoy protesting COVID-19 restrictions in Ottawa, and they were getting $24 million in support through cryptocurrencies and the like. And so the Canadian government tried to step in and freeze it.
Justin Trudeau is not done going after the Canadian truckers, even though the police broke up the convoy and arrested nearly 200 protesters this weekend.
If you are involved in this protest, we will actively look to identify you and follow up with financial sanctions and criminal charges.
This state of emergency is not over.
That's the first story. The second story, similarly about paying in crypto, but while the first story was about COVID-denying truckers, the second story is about the Ukrainians. So after the Russian invasion of Ukraine, the Ukrainian government reached out to the crypto community on Twitter. That's such a 2022 way to fundraise for your war effort. But yeah, the crypto community on Twitter to raise funds. And in February, they began accepting cryptocurrency donations in Bitcoin, Ether, and Tether.
Mm.
Since Moscow's invasion, more than 102,000 payments have been made, worth $54.7 million.
Ukraine has seen an outpouring of support from around the world as it tries to fend off the Russian invasion. Some of that outpouring has come in the form of cryptocurrency donations.
It's pretty exciting.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
In the grand scheme of things, I don't know how far $54 million would go in a war, but great to see 102,000 payments coming through.
Yeah.
And that the cryptocurrency ecosystem has been able to facilitate that.
And for me, those first two stories really point to a use case for cryptocurrency outside of the speculative investment asset class that so many people know it as, which is frictionless, borderless, permissionless, instant payments.
Mm.
Like it is truly a way to transfer value instantly.
Mm.
It's just that value fluctuates profoundly.
Yeah, what would that be worth today? That was in. The third headline was again regulation related, and it was Biden signing an executive order to do with regulation.
Well, I think it's really interesting. I mean, this is the first time that the federal government has looked at crypto regulation from a comprehensive perspective. You know, as you recall, President Biden issued this executive order back in March. He gave various federal agencies, both financial regulators and some non-financial regulators, mandates to look at different issues, to look at some of the concerns we have with this space, but also some of the benefits that the crypto industry and sector could provide, and come up with recommendations about what types of regulation are needed going forward.
After 13 years, three administrations since Bitcoin was formed, President Biden signed an executive order instructing nearly all federal agencies to develop detailed plans for US crypto regulation and enforcement. In hindsight, how interesting this is. However, it was sort of criticized as Biden's order only really amounted to little more than a research mandate requiring the departments to finalize a strategy and submit it to the White House.
Why do you say in hindsight how interesting this is?
Well, like,
I find this thoroughly uninteresting.
Well, it's like, hello, look at what happened to FTX. We need regulation.
Oh,
like,
let's get
going.
Right.
Like, get moving. And it's like he's started, but it's pretty soft, and this is going to take ages.
FTX US was a US financial institution.
Yeah, but like,
that's why it was like, you know how they're like FTX US, FTX International.
That's true.
But like, it's, I don't think it, I
broadly
think
it, speaking.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why old mate's been arrested.
Yeah.
Which we'll get to in a moment.
Yuga Labs, a leading NFT firm, introduced Otherside. Now, I've got to say, I did not include this story because I have no idea what sentence I just read there. Did you put this in?
Well, Ren, this is all things NFT related, and Yuga Labs created Bored Apes.
Okay, that is something I'm familiar
with. Bored Apes Yacht Club. Some of the most valuable, or were the most valuable NFTs.
Probably still the most valuable.
I don't know where they stand at the moment. But they acquired the CryptoPunks and MeadBits collections, cementing themselves as the leading NFT firm. Do you own any NFTs?
No.
I thought someone got it for you for Secret Santa last year. Or was
I screenshotted Alf's NFTs and printed them out for him and put them in frames.
Oh my goodness. They then introduced a magical planet named The Other Side, allowing community members to buy into this. The introduction was the most anticipated NFT drop of the year, and the sale netted them over $310 million, making it the most significant NFT drop in history. There you go.
Great, I'm going to move on.
So yesterday, developers of the Ronin Network, which was created by Axie Infinity, it's essentially the blockchain that the game runs on for payment rails, announced through a blog post that they had discovered a hacker had stolen $540 million worth of cryptocurrency last week on March 23rd.
So story number five, hackers stole $500 million from the Ronin Network. There were several pretty high profile crypto attacks, crypto hacks this year. I think this attack didn't happen this year, but the one that really stands out for me is that SoundCloud rapper.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember her?
Not really.
We did a whole feature on her for TikTok Investor Fridays, who I think the allegations were her and her boyfriend stole billions
of
dollars.
Oh, yeah, I do remember this. Yeah.
Like biggest crypto theft, biggest crypto heist in history, and they caught them this year.
And they're in jail, aren't they? Well, they got arrested.
Yeah. But in terms of the biggest actual theft this year was the $500 million stolen from the Ronin network, which I believe do Axie Infinity.
Yeah.
For people who are unfamiliar, Axie Infinity, think of it like an NFT-enabled Pokemon game where you can actually get – it's like the leading play-to-earn game where you get paid to play the game. And people were making so much – I'm not sure about now, but in 2020 and 2021, people were making so much that you could actually invest and buy someone their first Axie and then get paid a percentage of their winnings. Like it was seen as an investment.
Yeah.
Not in the NFTs themselves, but you invest in a player to play these play-to-earn games. It was a crazy world. Don't know if it's still going on.
There you go. It's all happening.
It's all happening.
500 mil.
They believe it was North Koreans that did the hack as well. The US have said it was a North Korean-backed group. So there you go.
Yeah, 500 mil gone.
So I have never seen anything like this. This is the collapse of what was the third largest stablecoin, and it's basically been collapsing in real time. There have been a lot of concerns about stablecoins, including from regulators and lawmakers.
So the sixth story, this was one that really shook markets, the collapse of Terra. And they say it was one of the greatest failures of decentralized finance. And the effects of this implosion are still unfolding. So
the one-on-one on Terra was it was a stable coin and it was meant to be pegged to the US dollar. So one US dollar could always be converted to one Terra. But then that peg broke and then it collapsed.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm pretty sure it was like a coordinated attack, but like a fund figured out a way to break the peg.
Oh, it was an intentional break.
I think so.
Yeah, right. Well, the Terra ecosystem was worth over $40 billion at its peak at the start of 2022.
Yeah, so I think it was the second biggest stablecoin after Tether.
Okay.
I think it was the second. It was big. But yeah, Tether and Terra are different stablecoins.
Yes. Well, on May 7, a series of massive sell-offs really threatened Terra. Essentially, it led to a liquidity crisis for some major platforms, which we'll get to in a moment. Celsius, Three Arrows, Alameda Research.
Genesis.
And it really piqued the interest of legislators around the globe who really were condemning the dangers posed by these stable coins. It wasn't great. It really was the start of the end for a lot of for the second half of 2022.
There's arguments that this is what broke FTX as well. But let's move on to story number 7, which is Celsius, Three Arrows Capital, and I guess Alameda's crisis. So for people who are unfamiliar, Three Arrows Capital, they were a big, crypto hedge fund, and they were seen as smartest guys in the room sort of thing. They actually had spent $50 million on a yacht. The name of the yacht, Much Wow.
Actually,
they never got on the boat.
They never got on it.
Well, because their firm collapsed.
Before they even got possession of it.
Yeah, before it was even finished being built, I guess.
Wow.
Yeah. And then, yeah, liquidators came in. But I think what it showed was just how interconnected the crypto ecosystem was. And it was like a cascading series of failures after Terra's collapse and the company that was supporting Terra or that created Terra, Luna, and Celsius, and Three Arrows. And it just showed how much everyone had been lending to each other. Yeah, it was just a cascading series of crises. It takes us to FTX because at that time, Sam Bankman-Fried was seen as the
savior.
He was being called the JP Morgan of crypto.
Yeah.
And he was seen as the savior.
Yeah.
And interestingly, he was buying out a lot of these companies before they went into bankruptcy proceedings. And at the time, it was like, oh, he's doing so much. But in hindsight, people think it was to cover up the amount that he was, like the FTX and Alameda were in this whole interconnected web of borrowing and lending to each other. And what he didn't want was for someone else, you know, a liquidator to come in or someone else to buy the company and then call in the debts that FTX and Alameda owed a Celsius or a Three Arrows Capital and something like that. Because
he couldn't pay.
They would default as well.
Yeah.
And so he was buying them up front to protect his company.
Well, there's tweets from him trying to justify why he's paying the prices that he was for companies that were essentially bankrupt.
Yeah.
Yeah, so again, in hindsight, it's interesting to see how it all played out. It is fascinating how interconnected they all were, how they were loaning against each other, and they're just, it's so dodgy.
So you know Mark Cohodes?
Yeah.
The short seller?
Yeah.
For people who aren't familiar with that term, maybe the best short seller in going around today. Definitely the most dogged short seller going around today. He wasn't short FTX because it was private, but he was publicly ringing the alarm bell for FTX for months, like back before every man and his dog said, I knew there was something dodgy with FTX. Back when Bankman-Fried was still seen as the crypto savior. He was interviewed on Meb Faber's show maybe a week or two ago. It's worth listening to just to hear how he came across it, his perspective on the whole thing. But yeah, for him, when Bankman-Fried started buying all these companies, rather than waiting for them to go into bankruptcy and buying them for pennies on the dollar, he was like, I'm right here. I know I'm right here.
Wow.
Yeah. But even before that, he was like, the whole backstory of Bankman-Fried was bull and really, really interesting. Listen, give it a listen. Yeah.
Well played.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was probably the biggest story in the first half of the year.
Yeah, big time. And then some massive ones continued. On a positive note, we had Ethereum's proof of stake upgrade completed.
Tonight around 1 a.m., Ethereum, the most widely used blockchain protocol, is completing this software upgrade. Now, called the merge, the event itself is going to take about 12 minutes.
Now, this had been in the works for a long time and it was finally completed. Now, going to need your help here, Ren. I'm pretty sure it was to do with the way that work is validated.
So traditional crypto is proof of work and you have supercomputers mining by mining we mean solving incredibly complex algorithms. Whichever supercomputer solves that algorithm, they then update the blockchain. The record is updated across the network. And then that miner is rewarded with the cryptocurrency. It's an incredibly energy-intensive way to maintain a decentralized record. And so that's how Bitcoin is still managed today, with miners and a proof-of-work system. Ethereum switched to a proof-of-stake system, where rather than people having to mine and use all that energy and supercomputers to update the blockchain, instead, if you prove that, it's like you basically stake your Ethereum and you use the proof that you own the Ethereum to validate that the transactions on the block that's being updated are correct, and then the blockchain gets the ledger gets updated.
Yeah.
So like the long and the short of it is they pivoted the way that it's managed to take out mining.
Yes.
Yeah.
The result of that is an energy efficiency improvement of 99.95% and a 90% reduction in ETH emissions.
Now, the Bitcoin maxis will say it is no longer a decentralized network, and instead now the biggest owners of Ethereum can control the network, which is fair. There may also be an argument that there's a fair bit of consolidation in the Bitcoin mining community as well, and there's a real 80-20 rule there as well. It probably did centralize it a little bit more.
Yeah, well, the price climbed 100% from its June low, but it's still down 64% year to date. So it was successful in the end when it was finally completed on September 15. Two to go, Ren. The number nine, U.S. Treasury sanctioned Tornado Cash. The Office of Foreign Assets Control of the U.S. Treasury said on 8th of August that it added the Tornado Cash protocol to its sanctions list. It said this because the CIA stated that cyber criminals used Tornado Cash to launder money. Find me a cryptocurrency that probably isn't used for that.
Find me a currency that isn't used for that.
Yeah, it's a very good point.
Thank you.
Sanction the U.S. dollar.
Yeah, well, I mean, allegedly, according to AusTrack, our three biggest casino operators have all been embroiled in this. Allegedly, according to AusTrack. it's a year where crypto hasn't. I think you've pulled out 10 stories. One of them was positive.
Well,
the Ethereum merge was completed, but some would say that wasn't a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, look, you could say the same for stocks this year as well. We're not here ripping on crypto. There's been plenty of...
Well, we are here ripping on crypto.
There's been plenty of negatives as well in the in stock market. But, Ren, let's close out number 10.
FTX.
Yeah.
We're headlining this block with Bitcoin, which has just dropped below $17,000 per coin. There is news going on here. This is the story of the day, especially if you're in crypto. FTX, the big exchange, has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. The chief executive, Sam Bankman-Fried, has resigned.
Where did it really start? It really started with Binance and CZ dumping FTX's cryptocurrency or their token FTT. That led to a run on the bank or run on the exchange. People tried to withdraw their money. FTX didn't have the money to give it back. Everything went wrong. Binance said it would buy it. 24 hours later, it said it wouldn't buy it. FTX couldn't return its money to investors. Turns out it was giving a lot of money to Sam Bankman-Fried's hedge fund, Alameda Research. And it looks like a lot of that was required because Alameda was swept up in the Terra collapse.
And now, long story short, he's been arrested by federal authorities in the US, arrested in the Bahamas,
yep.
Extradited to the US, facing criminal proceedings of fraud, embezzlement, and Mr. Roy...
John J. Ray the Third.
Ray, that's it. John J. Ray the Third. He was in Congress, I think, earlier this week and has said that despite... unwinding Enron through a massive period of fraud. He said he's seen nothing as bad as what has been going on at FTX. Not great for Sam Bankman-Fried and all the investors that were involved in it.
Now, you know Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank?
I do.
I was watching his testimony at the congressional inquiry into FTX and he was saying, so FTX over the years raised about $2 billion in venture capital. Kevin was saying that he called Bankman-Fried when all this went to shit and was like, what actually happened to that money on the balance sheet? Apparently, the story goes, Binance's CEO, CZ, owned 20% of FTX. And every time Binance and FTX would go to a new jurisdiction to try and get regulated as like a financial institution, CZ wouldn't give FTX the necessary information for FTX to get registered because he was a major shareholder. I think he was the second biggest shareholder after Bankman-Fried. They needed his information and he just wouldn't give it.
What?
And so it meant that in every jurisdiction, Binance was getting regulated and registered
and FTX
before FTX. And so apparently Bankman-Fried decided they just have to buy CZ out. They have to get him off the...
Off the books.
And so a lot of the money that they raised, especially in those later rounds, went to buying out CZ. And then CZ dumps the token.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, like, there will be a Business Wars podcast on this. There will be a documentary on it. It will really focus on, I think, the rivalry between these two.
Big time. And there's nothing to say that CZ himself isn't doing... dodgy stuff as well.
Have you seen the massive Binance withdrawals the last few days?
Yeah, yeah. He's trying to say that it happens regularly and it's nothing's unusual to see here.
Yeah.
But billions of dollars are coming out in 24-hour chunks. So who knows, Ren, who knows? But that is 10 crypto moments from 2022. Whilst it has been an incredibly interesting year in the crypto space, there are firms out there who are secure, and one of them is CoinSpot. Firstly, a shout out to CoinSpot for supporting Equity Mates this year and specifically for supporting FinFest. They were one of the major sponsors, so thank you to CoinSpot. They are Australia's most secure crypto platform, trusted by over 2.5 million Australians. They were awarded the internationally recognized ISO 27001 certification and the only Australian exchange to conduct an external statutory financial audit. They've been home for Australia's crypto since 2013. Head to coinspot.com.au.
So, Bryce, as we close out the year, key takeaways from the world of crypto and how you're going to invest in 2023?
The key takeaways have been sort of how I've always approached it. Definitely don't know anywhere near enough about it to make value judgments and value statements. There's so much that the regulation side still provides a lot of risk. And so my investing hasn't changed at all compared to, you know, even 2 years ago. Nothing more than sort of 5% of my portfolio goes into cryptocurrency. I still think that having a little bit of the toe in the water in some of the bigger coins is probably, it is where I play. But the takeaway has been, man, there is a lot going on and some regulation wouldn't go far. Yeah. What about yourself?
I think for me, it's really important to separate the cryptocurrency story from the businesses in the cryptocurrency world story, because what we've shared today, so the first two stories, the Canada trucker protests and Ukrainian military, like they were use cases of cryptocurrency where people were, from all over the world, were able to get money to where it needed, where they wanted it to go instantly, frictionlessly. Like, that is an incredible use case for cryptocurrency. This whole Yuga Labs introducing other side, not a world that I understand, not a world that I play in, but like, those are the technology stories, and that's really exciting. And that's why in 2023 you're going to hear a lot about central bank digital currencies, because governments and regulators are seeing the technology story for cryptocurrency and getting excited by it. So that's one side of the story. Then if we were to group a number of the other stories, I would say these are business stories, not technology stories. And that's Terra Luna, Celsius, Three Arrows Capital, FTX, and whatever's happening with Binance. These are all companies that are playing in the crypto world. But what brought them down wasn't anything to do with the technology.
Mm.
It was their business practices.
Mm.
It was how they were managing customer funds. It was how much collateral they had and how much they were borrowing and what level of leverage and risk they were taking on. And these are stories that aren't unique to crypto, but it just so happened that in the wild west of crypto, all those people were trying to get rich quickly and blew themselves up.
Mm.
And so I think for me, the really important thing, the takeaway from this year, is that the technology story and the business story often get conflated, but they are two separate stories. And I don't have a good answer on how to invest in it, but probably if I was to say how I'm going to approach 2023, I'm not investing venture capital into any crypto-related businesses, but I'm probably going to keep dollar-cost averaging into cryptocurrency itself.
Well, 2023, what a year we are about to embark on. Who knows where this is going to go. But Ren, that is the end of today's episode and the end of our content for 2022. We are taking a break for a week. Enjoy your Christmas, everyone in the Equity Mates community. A massive thank you for your support as always. Thank you to CoinSpot for supporting Equity Mates as well. We will be back at the start of January with our summer series, where we're diving into 12 stocks, both here in Australia and over in the US. Probably one of our best summer series to date. 11 experts joining us to help us unpack those stocks as well. It's going to be awesome. Make sure you tune in. Have a safe Christmas. And Ren, we'll pick it up in January.
Sounds good.
You have been listening to an Equity Mates Media production. In the spirit of reconciliation, Equity Mates Media acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay our respects to their elders past and present and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today. This podcast is intended for education and entertainment purposes. Any advice is general advice only and has not taken into account your personal financial circumstances, needs, or objectives. Before acting on general advice, you should consider if it is relevant to your needs and read the relevant product disclosure statement. And if you're unsure, please speak to a financial professional. The hosts of this podcast and their guests may have positions in the companies mentioned. Equity Mates Media operates under an Australian Financial Services Licence 540697.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues. your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.